Hello and welcome to the 9th episode of Science Who, where we take scientists from the past and learn about them together. You can reach us at our website of wnth.radio.com, Spotify, or anywhere you get your podcasts. Now, let's get straight into our episode about Konstantin Tsiolkovsky, the father of rocket science. He was born on September 5th, 1857, in Ishovsky, Russia. He was born into a modest family. His father was a professional forest officer, and his mother did other work. Although Konstantin did lose his hearing at the age of 9 due to scarlet fever, 4 years later, his mother did die. Due to his hearing loss, he was kept at home and became lonely and withdrawn from society. And at home, he also did his studies. In his teen years, he traveled to Moscow to study chemistry, mathematics, astronomy, and mechanics. After his father learned that both he was starving himself and overworking himself, he forced Ishovsky to come home. When he came back, he studied for a few more years at home, and then he took some teacher exams to go to a different school in the town of Borovsk. There, he became a teacher. He began his teaching career and married his wife, Varana Sokolovaya. I'm sorry if I'm really butchering these names. This marriage also renewed his love into science from his love into teaching. At the school, he worked at equations of the kinetic theory of gases. Although he was ahead of his time, when he did publish these manuscripts to the Russian Physiochemical Society, he learned that the chemist Dmitri Mendeleev had already done these a quarter century before. So he had lost hope at Borovsk. So then he moved to Kaluga, another city in Russia. In 1892, he was transferred to this school. Here he continued his work on astronautics and aeronautics. Astronautics is space, and aeronautics is like planes within the atmosphere. He took up a problem that would occupy him for the rest of his life: how to construct an all-metal dirigible adjustable envelope, aka a steerable airship that you can adjust the amount of gas in the pockets to change the altitude. If you haven't ever heard of the Goodyear airship before, there are large 3D oval-shaped bubbles with a small human compartment at the bottom and engines at the back. Before the airplane became super popular, this was the main mode of transportation if you wanted to go long distances. If you ever heard of the Hindenburg, the Hindenburg took off from New York and landed in Germany. And in Germany, that's where the Hindenburg exploded and into fire and crashed down, landed. But before the Hindenburg and in World War One, late 1800s and early 1900s, airships were the most popular mode of transportation for going long distances, because at this point cars weren't developed enough to both be comfortable long distances, because it's a lot of bumping, not a lot of suspension, and these airships were the easiest thing to take you long distances. And so Tsiolkovsky's obsession with the airship led him to discover that you could use rocket fuel to power the initial airship, blimp, zeppelin, whatever you want to call it. to shoot something at a high velocity into the sky. While he was exploring this new idea of essentially a rocket, he was writing his most serious and largest work. This is a very long name. It's called The Exploration of Cosmic Space by the Means of Reaction Devices, which is using a gas-powered or fuel-powered engine or jet fuel to power a rocket to go up into the sky. While he was writing this, he explored the problems of using rocket engines and rocket fuel in space, including issues like heat transfer, navigation, heat from air friction, and maintenance of fuel supply. And at this point, yes, they did not really know as much as we do now about space. They didn't realize, well, they didn't have the International Space Station up there. We haven't done the moon landings. This is a half a century before even NASA was created. And so when the paper was published, it was only 1900s. It was only the year 1900. For the first 15 years of the new century, he would endure the most emotional part of his entire life. Him and his wife had children, and his son committed suicide. A flood destroyed his home and many of the necessary and priceless artifacts and scientific materials. The Academy of Sciences did not recognize the value of his aerodynamic experience. And in 1914, his model of the airship was met with complete indifference at the Aeronautics Congress. And so he was doing all these experiments at his house, in his backyard, just in his neighborhood. And no one in the government or in these big scientific groups and organizations wouldn't take him seriously or wouldn't accept any of his credit or validate him at all. For the final 18 years of his life, Slavsky continued his research with the support of the Soviet Union, and he contributed to the stratospheric exploration of interplanetary flight, which played a major or significant role in the initial exploration of space and seeing what could survive out there, how we could fire things into the sky and have them come back, as well as being able to go into space. And in 1919, he was elected the Socialist Academy, to the Socialist Academy. This is a organization of Russian scientists. And so he was finally achieving his validity that he yearned for all these years, and really used his life work and presented his life work, but he did not get the validity. He was not treated with respect or valid or anything like that, but now he was finally achieving that sense of validity. And he died on September 19th in 1935 in Kaluga, the Soviet Union, because at this point, this is after the Russian Revolution, so the country of Russia has switched from an empire to the communist state. Thank you for listening to this episode of Science Who. We have new episodes weekly. You can reach us at our website of wnth.radio.com or anywhere you get your podcasts. Thanks, and I hope to see you soon. Bye.